Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I'm CEO of Mage LLC, and I'm here with Peter Morrison from the law firm Cohn, Rasnick, Morrison & Plout. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Jeff. It's great to be here. It's great to be in your new offices.
Thank you. I'm enjoying it. Yeah. That's two out of the three of us. our next guest is Ralph Verrilli.
Yes, sir.
Of Madison Park Group.
That's correct.
Can you tell us about Madison Park Group?
Sure, we'd love to. we're an M&A advisory firm. A fairly small firm, six professionals based out of New York City, and focus on software and high tech, all enterprise software. So what we do is really help founder-owned companies from the beginning when they want to think about being acquired, helping them get prepared for that, what I call the eventual acquisition, through actually representing them in an M&A transaction.
So how did you, tell us about you. A little bit. I mean, sure. You know, that's an interesting space, and it's one that I share to some extent. But how did you get to be there?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Certainly for me, you know, my background was actually mechanical engineering. I was a mechanical engineer at the University of Massachusetts. I spent all my time in research in software, came out to the Boston area, worked for some of the bigger software companies, Computer Vision and Parametric Technologies, and then started a company which we ran for about 17 years, and after about 17 years, we were acquired by Siemens. I ran it as part of Siemens, as COO, I ran it as part of Siemens for 2.5 years. It was interesting, but I'm a small company guy, and I like doing a lot of different things. I was contacted by the Madison Park Group. They had known about me. Said, hey, you know a bunch about a bunch of different things. We're looking for operators to help us prepare our companies for acquisition. And it's funny, because originally I said, hey, listen, I don't really want to be an investment banker. But said, we don't really want investment bankers. We want operators. And it's really one of these things where it's a 1+1 synergy type thing, because myself as an operator and the transaction team really bring a lot of value to our clients.
So the clients are companies that are existing. You're not startups.
Correct.
And they see their future. They want to figure out what their possible exits are.
Yep, that's correct. And as I say, you can't decide today that you want to be acquired in 2 months or 6 months.
No.
You can. You're most likely not going to be successful. There's a lot that goes into a successful acquisition, right? Initially, you really want to make sure, as I like to say, from the beginning, or once you have a viable company running, who are you important to and why are you important to them? I think you always need to keep that in your mind. The other thing I spend a lot of time with clients on is to make sure you have options. And what does that mean? You want to make sure that you never get yourself in a situation where you have to sell, because that never goes well for the company selling. And then the third thing is, you really want to make sure you have your house in, as I say, in good order, right? And that's operationally, that's financially, because we see so many transactions fall apart, especially with founder-owned companies. They think they can do anything and everything and just wing it a lot of ways. And then all of a sudden, a possible acquirer comes and say, well, you have issues here, you have issues there, and you know what? We can't do this transaction.
So you take a look at their financial statements, you look at, see whether it's the right accountant for them, in terms of...
We do it across the board, actually. That's certainly, that's sort of the tip of the iceberg, as I like to say. You look at a balance sheet, you look at a profit and loss, then you have capitalization tables that you want to look at, right? In order? What's your board of directors look like? But then we even dig down below that. So operationally, right, are you working with the right partners? Do you have the right relationships with those partners? Do you have the right contracts?
If it's an enterprise software solution,
yes.
And I assume they want the technology and the revenue potential, is the board of directors that important, since I assume they're leaving?
No, it's not really. In general, that's not really an important thing. But
it's
that
technology they want, right?
Technology, yeah. Typically, it's the technology, not the revenue.
Right.
I just sort of touch on the board of directors because it's an interesting story. We were just with the client.
I was listening to you.
So. Yeah, no, it's good, right? We were just with the client, and these are things that sort of get tripped up. We were just with the client, and he thought that his board of directors consisted of four people, and it didn't. It consisted of one person, him. And for the last 4 years, he's been having all these people sign stock option grants. So in the mind, he might have started as a board of advisors and then, hey, you know what? This is my board. And then, so now all of a sudden, we have all these stock option grants with all these signatures on them, which are irrelevant. Now, again, all these things can be unwound. But when someone goes and acquires a company, they look at things like that. Are they well run? Fundamentally, that's what you want to look at.
Right.
So what do you find the most damning thing that an acquirer looks at? I mean, I know that's a loaded question.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of things. You know, contracts are an interesting one, right? Because they are buying the revenue to some extent. So are your contracts with your clients solid? Your relationships with your employees, we see that blow up deals quite a bit. So all of a sudden, you know, I'm coming, I'm buying the team, I'm buying all these really smart software guys. And all of a sudden, you know, you have a software guy that thinks that he's the smartest guy in the world and he's going to go off on his own. That goes bad.
So the protection of IP and...
Yeah, in a general sense. But, you know, as I say, there are many more ways for a transaction to go wrong than there are for it to go right. You know, and it's unfortunate. First-time founders, first-time entrepreneurs, first-time selling a company, you don't realize that. And the other thing I've learned is there's not a buyer for every company.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because my son-in-law was with a enterprise software company in New York, and they went through, I think, 9 rounds of financing, and, you know, he finally ended up leaving,
yep.
You know, on very good terms with the company, but he wanted an exit.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you go through 9 rounds of financing, you know, to make a very successful company, you know, it's
eventually you want something too.
Yeah, right. But you know, if the company had wanted to do a sale at some point, the question is really, why did he leave?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Those are the kinds of yeah. questions that I assume get asked. I mean, this was an right. easy one, you know, and, you know.
Yeah.
Right. He wanted to move on.
Right. And these are the things that you need to think about, right? Employees get tired, right? But you're going to lose your founding team. So again, we get involved. We try and get involved a year and a half before you're really thinking about doing a transaction.
So Ralph, new administration, new way of looking at business. Have you seen that affect the market, the way you look at business?
You know, realistically, no. We're in a market that's pretty hot right now. The big guys still have a lot of money that they're deploying to make acquisitions. We're not seeing, at least in my business and in the world that we're living in, we're not seeing that really affect it that drastically. We do see, you know, one thing we do speak about on the other side is, you know, founders, you're never sure what's going to happen with the tax situation. And that's something you just want to think about. Now, obviously, you can't predict it, but again, it just goes to show there are a lot of variables in what we would consider a successful transaction.
So when somebody engages you, I assume it's a fee-for-service?
That's correct.
So you figure out how much it's going to be, and you charge them X number of dollars, and you go in and you do everything.
That's correct. However, you know, again, for many companies, you know, we will do a lot of it pro bono, only because we want to eventually do the true M&A transaction.
You're building a relationship.
Exactly, right? And then again, it has to be the right situation for both of us. We can only do so many of those. But we really, you know, a lot of companies say, a lot of M&A firms say, yes, we're building a relationship. We've put this structure in place of marrying operators with investment bankers so that we really can build that relationship.
Now, you're a New Yorker. You're here in Boston.
That's correct.
Can you compare the markets in your area? What is it, characteristic differences?
We're seeing New York be very hot, a lot of ad tech, a lot of financial software companies. Here, we're seeing obviously more engineering-type companies, a lot more VR-type companies. Again, that's the spaces that we
right.
primarily work in, business intelligence. We are seeing New York, a lot more companies being started in New York, but we're seeing a lot more M&A transactions happen here. And I think it's sort of a function of the cycle.
So do you have to be here a lot just because it's such a hot market?
I'm actually based out of Boston.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm based out of Boston. My office is in New York, but I'm based out of Boston. I go back and forth on a very regular basis, but I am based out of Boston.
Oh, Madison Park.
Yeah.
If someone wants to find you at Madison Park, how would they do that?
You can go to the website. I'm on the website, but my email address is rverrilli@madisonparkgrp.com. That's probably the best way.
Great.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for being on the show. I hope you come back again.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Give us a case study at some particular time.
Actually, we have plenty of those. I think it'd be worthwhile. You know, it's interesting. We actually do a session on what we call preparing for acquisition that we do locally with a couple of law firms. And we've
clients. Well, that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Actually.
Happy to do it. Happy to do it.
Great.
Great. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Nice meeting you.
No, thanks.
Nice
I want to remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm with Peter Morrison. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.